Welcome to this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for having us here to share a family slideshow with you.
It may even be longer than 2 years. The way that time flies, I'm never sure. But I think I was not able to use my wrist very well last time we were here. So it's probably closer to 3 or 4 years even. But we'd just like to give you a little bit of background information because some of you may not have been here when we were here before. And so here we go. How am I going to do this? Can you do that one?
Oh, yes, you do that.
Just so I don't have to... Oh, what happened there? Let's go back. All right, a snapshot in the life with the Macleans in Papua New Guinea. So I think some of you think that we live in the area where it's hot and sticky, but no, we don't. We live in the highlands. See the mountains in the background there, 5,000 feet above sea level. Very pleasant climate most of the year round.
Let's find the place.
So we currently live at Christian Leaders Training College, or CLTC, about 50 kilometres east of Mount Hagen. Some people have heard of Mount Hagen in Papua New Guinea. And Ukurampa, our SIL headquarters, is in the Eastern Highlands.
That's a whole day's travel away, which is great because it means we don't get there very often.
We haven't been there for quite a while, actually. And this was our house for 4 years. Very, very comfortable.
Hot and cold running water. How much you got depended on how quickly you ran and whether the fire was burning or not.
But this is where we've been living since 2005, in the company of birds of paradise, right outside our door. Quite a comfortable home with greenery everywhere. And it's not very often that it's not green. If it doesn't rain for 2 weeks, we get a little bit concerned. When we've been away, we come back to our home all decorated by our friends. Welcome home to CLTC. The garden is very lush.
We have about 50 of these growing in the garden at any one stage. So we know all about bananas.
We don't eat them here because they don't taste the same. All right, now down to the nitty-gritty. This is Coffee with the computer. He is our translation helper. And while we're away now, he's doing exactly that, sitting at the computer, getting files ready to send to me to check. But I'm on holidays for a year, so he's got to wait a little while. In the background is Tol. He used to translate from the local language back to the trade language because the people who check the language don't understand the one we're working in, but they understand the trade language and so they ask all sorts of questions about the accuracy of the translation.
By the way, Heather forgot to mention that PNG, 7.5 million people, 830 different, completely different languages. We're only working in one, thank you.
So when we, Coffee and I, have worked out what we think is a good translation, we take it to these people. It's their language, and they are very proud of it, and they want it to be used properly. So they listen very carefully, and they say, no, you could say it better like this. And so we change it, and we have a great time there with those folk.
Again, as Heather said, the people are proud of their language. They call it Yue, which means real language. Not the rubbish that the people over there in the next valley speak. This is what we'll get in heaven, the real talk. Just as a point too, you can see the two fellows on your right, fellow on the left, are holding a series of little booklets.
They're there by you, behind you.
Oh, well, I have samples here too, real ones. Memory verse books in their own language again, and strategically sized so they fit in your shirt pocket, so that when you want a refresher, you open it up and read, well, Matthew 20. But I won't confuse you.
Well, let me read it.
Heather will read it for you.
You can hear what the language sounds like. Don't ask me what the translation of this one is right now, but if you want to look at Matthew 20, verses 26b to 27, it sounds like this. Jesus embenim. Yuende enem membar, tuale ye nom moral ne pimkin, alom enem nol awol nip ye mara, mora, sorry, moldo yeende ye molo ngumbro, Keral ne pimkin, alominem nol awol nip ye mora panim. Last week we had lots of songs about battles, fighting the battles. We've been fighting battles in Papua New Guinea because spiritually it is still a very dark place. There are lots of churches, but we often say that a lot of people are skin Christians. Can you understand what I mean by that? It doesn't go very deep. And when things get hard, they resort to their traditional religion, which is giving honour to the evil spirits, really.
Everything has a spirit, whether it's a tree or a rock, a creek, a pool. And so if you're going there, you have to make sure that they're pleased to have you there. In a place, if you want to cut down a tree, you have to make sure that the tree's not upset because you're going to cut it down. If it's upset, it might fall down on top of you and kill you.
And so, parents teach their children to be frightened of these spirits. So you can't go there because one might catch you. You can't eat this. You can't do that. Life is full of fear. So in 2003, I came across this book in the local Christian bookshop. And it says, Jesus I winim sanguma, na all kind power, which means that Jesus has defeated sorcery and all other kinds of power. We've been working on this book for a long, long time. You may remember, some of you who've been here right from the beginning. Well, chapter 1 or study 1 looks at what is sorcery. Now here you might think, well, we don't have sorcery, but you do have a few things here. What do you think might take the place of sorcery here in some people's lives? Sorry?
Psychics,
yes. What are my stars? What's, okay, anything else? Satan, yes, he's at the back of all of this. Yeah. Harry Potter books, are they good reading for your children? No. When I was preparing this course, I went online on the internet and looked at YouTube, and there was a testimony from a lady from Australia who called herself an ex-witch. And she stated, do not let your children or anybody read Harry Potter books. It is pure schooling in witchcraft. Now that's from a lady who knows. So you have this problem here too. So what kind of power is sorcery, the next study looks at. So you look at some of the things that you come across here. The third study, Jesus has defeated Satan. That's at the base of this whole study. King Jesus has authority, helping people to become free, because they say, well, my parents taught me to do this, so it must be right. But they need to have their eyes opened. Study 6, becoming completely free. 7, getting rid of the spirit of sorcery. 8, the community must work together. And 9, don't be afraid. And I have a feeling that you people might be hearing a little bit more about this book in the not too distant future. These are some of the lovely ladies that I have led through the course. And some of them have said to me, you know, you have opened our eyes as to who is behind all of this. We thought it was okay because our parents taught us all that, but you have shown us and set us free. And so we are really grateful.
It's just a bit like the illustration you know about the frog. You want to cook a frog, you put it in a saucepan of cold water and heat it gently until it boils, and the frog doesn't move until it's too late. The other option, of course, is to drop the frog into boiling water and it's all over. But that's the situation that they're in, because they've been immersed in sorcery from, as part of the natural environment. Whereas we get dropped in the deep end and bang it, wow, where did that come from? What's that all about?
You can see some of the ladies there with glasses on. They're reading glasses that I've been able to pick up in the shops here and in Hagen now. And they are very grateful because they have eye problems, but they don't get to go to opticians very often. And so they're able to do their studies. These are wives of the men who are doing the main course at CLTC. And when they are studying each of these sections, they're then encouraged to go and share it with their family, first of all, what they've learnt, and have a discussion. And then other ladies around the college who don't have the opportunity to come to the course. And people say, yes, that happens in my area too. So these people come from all over Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, Samoa, and Tonga. I think that, even Irianjaya now, West Papua, whatever it's called now, keeps changing. No, it's not. That was another part of my, I haven't included that this time, but many of these women come and they can't read and write in any language, let alone their own. And so I have taught them very basic literacy. Sometimes I've had to teach them the trade language because they only speak their village language as well. So good question, Caleb. No. But just before we left a couple of years ago, we'd been at a graduation service and a fellow had come to see someone he'd been supporting for many years. And he said to me, my church want to provide computers for all the wives. And I said, really? Wouldn't new toilets be better? And he said, oh, no, they want to provide computers. I said, look, let me come to your church and show you what the conditions are like in PNG. When they go back home, they're not going to have electricity.
It's called a reality check. No electricity, so you let your computer... Well, a laptop will last until your battery's died, unless you find somebody who can provide you with a solar panel, etc., 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 regulators, batteries. Then, of course, there's the other problem that very few, if any, can or will read English. What are the programs written in? English or other funny languages? So it's...
Yes, very unrealistic. Okay, there's our language again. God ngalem Jesus ye kerma. God ngalem Jesus ye kerma. God ngalem Jesus. God ngalem Jesus. God ngalem Jesus ye kerma. How many different words can you see in that first verse?
Well done. You get the
five.
You get the coffee.
I believe God gave me this song to use in literacy. We could sing that over and over and over, and the people already knew it. But when I was pointing out these funny symbols, say that, you could see the light go on. Then we'd play games and mix them all up, and by the end of a session, most of them could read God and Ngalem and Jesus and Ye and Kerma. So,
it has meaning.
It means that the Son of God is Jesus, is Lord. It was a Christmas song, the second verse, Maria Kongara Kangim Ye Kerma. Maria gave birth in a pig house, they say, or an animal house. And basically that's it. She gave birth to the Lord. So that has been a wonderful thing to use. And with the ladies who come into my literacy class, I teach them this one. It's rejoice in the Lord always. You believe it? We could sing it. Amamas long Jesus all time. Nagen you amamas. Amamas long Jesus all time. No, the plastic. Now again, you amamas, but we don't use computers, we use shower curtains. Actually, this is a painting sheet, but never mind, it's the same thing. Very cheap, easy to use, the cockroaches don't eat them. Do you want to have a go? You know, rejoice in the Lord? Okay, so Amamas long Jesus all time, nagen you amamas. Amamas long Jesus all time, nagen you amamas. Amamas, amamas, nagen you amamas. Amamas, amamas. Nagin you amamas. Once more. Amamas long Jesus all time. Nagin you amamas. Amamas long Jesus all time. Nagin you amamas. 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 Nagin you amamas. Amamas. Amamas, nagin you amamas. Okay, that's been another part of our work, which I haven't put any photos up, but one day when I was at a ladies' camp, I think, Don decided he'd go to another church rather than stay at CLTC. And he ended up at an independent Baptist church, and he sat in the back, and afterwards they were very, very friendly and asked him who he was, what he was doing there. And he said, oh, my wife sings and teaches songs in the talk place, the local language. We'll come along one day and teach you some songs in your language.
If you like.
If you like. And they liked. So we went back several times. They were very keen to buy these little books as well. And we had a lovely time there. And we used to do that all the time when we were living in the village. We would go out to a different church every week and teach them these songs in their language. Okay, so literacy. Now, I haven't got a photo of the fellow that I trained as a teacher, but in February, it probably is 2 years ago now, I was asked to go up the mountain and be present at a graduation service where this man whom I had trained had, he was graduating
35.
How many?
35
students at least. Some of them had been real rascals, and that's not an endearing term in Papua New Guinea, criminals. But through learning to read and write, their lives had been changed. He's a pastor, and so he led them to the Lord as well. And government officers came from Port Moresby for the occasion. It was a really big do. Don couldn't go because he had a very sore leg, but it was announced that these were now students of the Don and Heather McLean Literacy School. And I was able to present them with their certificates.
In actual fact, he had a series of...
Nine,
I think, of these schools with up to 30 students in each operating concurrently. They're still operating today, which is great, because just like here, people get enthusiastic and start something, and then when it gets to the stage of back to normal and it's 9 to 5 or whatever, keep going and might get a bit rough and tough. Oh, what's too hard? I'll give in. But this guy has persevered and kept going. That's a real encouragement to us.
He's also been able to get support from the government financially, so that is a major thing to keep him going. Come on. What's happening here? Oh, that one. Might help. Okay. Now, I have also been teaching the real students to how to translate the scriptures into their own language. When they go back to the village, they will very rarely be speaking in English or the trade language, but they'll be preaching in their own languages. And so they need to know a few things about how to translate accurately. I won't go through all the things that they have to be aware of, but there's a lot more than you would think. And at one particular time in each term, they're asked to do a short drama on words like sanctification, justification, big words for us, but for them, okay, they can use them, but do they know what they mean? So they had to go and research the meaning and then put on a drama to show that they really understood what it meant and to use it in their own language. You can see that the classrooms are very, very basic, but adequate. And I would also get them to translate this little booklet on AIDS and HIV. Now, I don't have to translate that, do I?
It's rife in PNG, and government support aid is minimal. Commonly known as the plague. And no one really knows anything about it.
All sorts of fairy tales about how you get it and how you can cure it. So this, we tell them the truth, and they get a bit of a shock.
Yeah. And part of the deal was, of course, but you're there to translate scripture. Why on earth are you getting involved in this? Well, the reality was, looking at the trends of number of cases and people dying from it, if we didn't worry about it, there'd be no one left to read the stuff that we'd translated or to be converted. That's how bad the situation has been and is. So what are we doing? I might add a little footnote on that. With translation, that's what we're there for. People will look at you first, and people that you're using as translation people, and then they'll look at the translation, the work. The theory is, if you're a real person, what you're producing was probably fairly good chance of being real as well. But if we can't trust you, forget it, which can cause all sorts of problems if you get a character in your translation team who does not have the approval of the community. If he or she doesn't have that approval, and we got caught in the early days with a couple of people in our translation team who, through one way or another, showed their real colours, and the community said, forget it, we don't want to know anything that they've done. Even though we thought it was good to start with, not with people like that round, so start again.
So the students graduate at the end of each year, or at the end of 5 years, really. They have 4 years of study, 1 year practical back in their own place or somewhere else, and celebrations and decked out just like you'd expect graduates to look. Okay, Don.
Oh, you're looking at a hatchery, chicken hatchery. The college basically attempts to be as self-supporting as possible. At this stage, they are churning out, and churning out is the word, 50,000-day-old chicks a week. Fresh eggs of about that number of dozens a week. They have beef cattle, and they're also growing rice now, dryland rice. And, of course, it was somehow or other they heard that I was an electrician and an engineer, and oh wow, Don, the hatchery was brand new, so there's the patch of ground where we're going to put a hatchery, Don. What are we going to need for electricity, for water? So yeah, a matter of putting professional practical skills to use again. So again, part of being a Christian in a third world country, particularly our own Australia as well, perhaps not to the same obvious extent, can I put it that way? But that's the point. You're there, you have these skills that the Christian community or the community in general needs. Use them so that people can again see an example. I think I'm not stretching things too much to say Paul went tent making because that was his profession, and he was able to say, check out what I do, follow that and you'll be fairly right in your Christian walk.
The rivers used to be clean, but they've been used as rubbish tips, toilets, bathrooms, you name it. And when our local river was tested, it went way sky high on the bacterial level. So Don is also involved in trying to get some clean water for everybody.
Again, we're out in the middle of nowhere, 55 k's, the capital city of the province. You got power sometimes from the equivalent of power networks, so you've got generators to keep things going. With students and staff, there are something like 600 people on campus. Then you've got 400 head of cattle that like to drink. I've forgotten how many chooks, but there's a fair number of them. So you need water. This was part of an Australian Kiwi. He's an Australian, married a Kiwi, lives in Kiwi land, comes across, had an idea that we'd dig a well and pull water out of that. Unfortunately, he spent lots of money and we got this colour water out of it. We're still working on how to get around that. something like 250,000 litres a day is consumption. Another little effort, we're putting up a communication tower here to provide, the white thing is an antenna, to get Wi-Fi over the college. Behind the hill to the left there, you can't see it, but there's a coffee plantation. And the guy there, the manager, said, look, if you stick up, well, we told him what we're attempting to do to get onto internet, because we had 300 bits a minute telephone connection. Not real good. He said, well, if you get it up and you can get me a connection, I'll give you the tower. So guess who got the job of designing, and there he is working on getting the tower up. And like lots of technical things, after 5 years it's all been superseded with satellite dishes. However, and another thing, you're a graduate, Don, you did physics. So year 12 student used to front up twice a week and we'd do a tutorial on maths or whatever.
HIV AIDS, the lady on the right, she was one of my students back in about 2004, I think. And she'd gone through that HIV AIDS booklet, but she didn't check before she got married what her prospective husband had been up to. She'd been married 5 months and she became very, very ill. We heard about her when we were visiting friends, and so we went to see her, not knowing who she was. We knew that she was a graduate from CLTC. Well, we went to her church across the road, first of all, because we had heard that they would have nothing to do with her because they were frightened of getting the plague. We went through the booklet with them and said, you can't possibly get it by shaking hands or even hugging her. There are only two ways to get it. Yes, yes, yes. So a lady after the service took her to visit Joanne, but she would not touch her. When Joanne saw us, she said, called out, Heather, Don. I'm thinking, who is this woman? She was literally a bag of bones, 32 kilograms. When I hugged her, it was just like, oh, it was terrible.
But that was the thing. As soon as they were aware that she had it, no one would touch her. And that here we were, we just walked in the door and we were prepared to hug her. Heather will expand on that.
She told me months later, she said, do you remember the day that you came to visit me the first time? And I said, yes. And she said, from that day on, I stopped crying myself to sleep every night because I just felt somebody loved me. And the Lord really laid her on our hearts, and we ended up visiting her every weekend with fresh fruit and vegetables, eggs, brown rice. She is now thriving. She looked after her mother in the middle, who has since died of mouth cancer from chewing the dreadful betel nut. Well, the betel nut on its own is not so bad. It's when you mix it with lime and everything else that becomes a narcotic. It eats at teeth and gums and makes cancers in the gums. And that dear lady, she suffered so terribly and has since died. But Joanne was always praising the Lord that she had the strength to be able to look after her mum right to the end. She's carrying water up a steep riverbank, doing the gardening, staying with mum in hospital where there's germs everywhere. She didn't get sick at all, and she's just rejoicing in the Lord all the time. I would like to point out the fellow on the right there. As we were singing a song, he came to mind again. I taught his mum and dad in translation principles some years ago. The following year, they were sent away from the college and we never ever found out why. But in the last few years, they have returned and continued their studies, and this guy on the right is their son. He apparently was the cause of them being put out of the college. He was so disobedient, he was getting into all sorts of strife. But this was his testimony before he was baptized, how the Lord had changed his life, and mum and dad were able to come back and complete their studies, and everyone was rejoicing. But that's an example of the youth group there at CLTC. They love to sing together, play together, and they're a real inspiration. Some of them have done year 12 at the local schools and have gone on to bigger and better things. Some have returned to Solomon Islands now from that group there. And we just love to see them and work with them. Okay, that was our farewell when we left in, that was on June the 30th, I saw on the photo. So we've been officially farewelled from CLTC, but we want to go back for 3 months every year to continue the work. And when we get back from PNG in September this year, then I'll be doing what they call a remote assignment. And so getting these files on the computer, over the internet, checking them, sending them back to COFFI, and we will continue the scriptures that way. Reading is a huge problem for everyone, so we are now going to be recording the sorcery course in the local language on these little things which are called Audi Bibles. Now, there's not enough oomph in it at the moment for it to work, but that has a huge volume that you can sit in the middle of a group of people and they can listen to the scriptures or whatever else is on it. Or you can use your smartphone. You'd be surprised how many people have got those in PNG now. So we can record them onto here as well, so they can listen whenever they wish.
One of the other great things about the country is that everyone really is wide open to hearing scripture. So much so, there's an organisation in PNG called Christian Radio Missionary Fellowship. They started back when two-way radio, HF radio, was the way, well, when we were out in the bush, how we communicated. They have produced a little black box, let's call it that, called a Wi-Fi Bible. It's got scripture in the trade language and in a few other languages that have got that far, Christian songs, and the beaut thing is they've got, we call them PMVs, it's basically a public bus. The driver, it's clamped to the appropriate part of the bus, and while it's travelling along you can drag out your smartphone and download whatever's on it free of charge, and away you go, and you've got scripture and songs that you can use anywhere and everywhere, and everyone's happy to be involved.
They might even play them as they're driving along, yeah, if the passengers will allow it. Just one more thing. There was a PMV driving along and a pastor was asking people if they were saved. They told him to sit down and shut up. That PMV had a serious accident. The pastor was thrown clear and survived. The rest of the passengers died.
Just one thing, you've heard about Heather's going to be doing while we're home. Well, I'm getting involved too, well, continuing to be involved with CLTC as I've just finished this week, basically as a local procurement officer. Don, we need a pump. Help. Sort one out, find it for us and send it up. So that will be part of my role for CLTC, and anything else that they can think of, for sure.
I've already asked him to come back.
I had to knock back just as we arrived here. I got a phone call saying, Don, we've got a problem. Can we send you up to find out what's really going on first? But, yeah, that's the situation. And, again, it comes down to the fact that that's what Christians do. And, sorry, I'm going to do one other thing. It's because of you supporting us that we are able to do that, to be involved and to be Christ for you, presenting to them in the each of those situations. Thank you.
As Caleb said, there's many more things that we could tell you, but we'll leave it there and invite us out and we'll tell you.
Awesome. Thank you, Don and Heather. It's great to hear some of those things. And I have to say, like, I hope that some of that inspires you a little bit, because it kind of inspires me. I don't know about you, but I hope that I'm as committed to serving God as what when my hair's as grey as Don's, as what these guys are. I'm not sure if I'm prepared to live in Papua New Guinea, but I hope that in some way, there's still that passion and commitment in my heart as what we see in those guys. So I really want to commend you guys and thank you for coming and sharing this morning. And to hear about the things that God's doing through your work in sharing with those guys is really encouraging and inspiring. Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.